UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
You're locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Go. What's today's date? What is today's date?
That would be December 11th, 2019.
December 11th. Because I'm trying to figure out what to do tonight. And my original thought was to go see a Broadway show, which is what I love to do. But I think I'm going to find a small college basketball game. There's no Division I teams playing, even the low majors here, like in the Northeast Conference or the MAC, the one with two A's. None of those teams are playing. But the CUNY, the City University of New York, is in action tonight. And I think I'm going to go watch NYU play Hunter. That's what I'm going to do tonight. That's that fact. I've already made the commitment. I'm going to take a cab to Hunter, which is right here in Manhattan, and watch the NYU Violets take on the Hunter Hawks, I think is what they're called. So looking forward to that. 7 o'clock tip if you're scoring at home. So we'll be headed there. It was either that or I could go see Mount St. Mary, which is not the one in Maryland, the Division I school. This is a Division III school here in New York City or New York area. I think it's north of New York City. Take on Lehman College. But that's in the Bronx. That's too far away. So I'm going to go to Hunter. That's where I'm headed tonight. Give you a full report tomorrow. You won't want to miss it. So that should be damn tasty. Or I could go to there's another Division III league here. You have no idea. I mean, because most of you didn't coach a Division III, and most of you don't care about it. I mean, I get it. But I'm just saying, as a guy who absolutely adores college basketball, I love this. There are so many schools here. It'll blow your mind. I mean, you got a city this big. How about this, by the way? The CUNY, the City University of New York system, when I was a kid, an elementary school kid, if you lived in the city of New York, how about this? You used to be able to go to college tuition free. I think that saved you some money. How about that? For city residents, they could go to the CUNY schools for free. And most of them lived at home, so they literally could go for nothing. Dems were the days. But anyway, I'm going to watch some small college basketball tonight. Dana O'Neill, who does not spend her time dilly-dallying with small college basketball, she watches the big boys, and she joins us right now. Dana, so you want to talk the Louisville fans off the ledge after last night? What do you think?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's December, so there's no need to panic for anybody right now. I mean, so Louisville lost and looked bad losing in a game as a number one team in the nation. Like, welcome to the club. I think that sort of seems to be a rite of passage this season. So are they as awful as they looked last night? Did they have a rotten game? Yes. Does this mean the sky is falling? No. They have issues. They need a secondary score. They need a little better point guard play. But, you know, I don't think that the world is over just yet for Louisville basketball.
I think it also speaks, does it not, to the fact that, you know, as to paraphrase the great Rick Pitino, you know, Kevin McHale is not walking through that door. I mean, Larry, the 1969 UCLA team is not walking through that door. The 38-win Kentucky team is not walking through that door. That's the reality. These teams are younger. They're less polished. They're, frankly, a lot less coached. And I don't mean there's a knock on the coaches. I just mean they don't have them as long. And so you're going to see some erratic performances. And so that makes the the separation a lot smaller. You've been covering teams a long time. Don't you think the separation, the gap between the supposedly powerful teams and others is smaller than it's ever been?
Of course. I mean, you know, I was having this conversation just yesterday. I don't know what brought it up, but I was like, think about the fact that, you know, Patrick Ewing stayed in college. Like, consider Patrick Ewing for who Patrick Ewing was in high school and who Patrick Ewing was in college. That would be like Zion Williamson staying in college. It doesn't happen anymore. So, yeah, everybody turns over. Everyone's young to start. And the teams that are even old aren't that old. Like, you know, old means like sophomores and juniors. It doesn't mean like wizened seniors who've been around the block for 4 years and were role players as freshmen and came up. No, those teams are very, very rare. So, yeah, teams have to kind of figure themselves out all over again, and it takes time. I know they practice. I get it. But it's not the same as it is, you know, in game action. So we're just going to see this year. I mean, like, I assume Kansas or Ohio State is going to be number one on Monday, and do I think they'll be number one to the end of the season? Nope. I mean, I know the record is 7 in 1983. I think they're going to blow through this before the season is over. It's just, it's a year also where you don't have, like, a hugely dominant freshman class, right? You don't have the Zion Williamson class of last year and R.J. Barrett. So you've got good players. James Wiseman's not even playing the best one. So there's just a lot of upside down right now.
I don't – whoever gets named – forget about number one until the end of the season. I don't think that whoever gets named number one will make it to – they may not make it till the end of December, and they certainly won't make it till the end of January. I'm serious, because once they get in conference play, they're going to lose. I mean, everybody loses. This is
sure.
College basketball now.
Absolutely, yeah, and I agree with you 100%. Like, there is no dominant team this year. There really hasn't been a dominant team, if you really consider it, in the old school – you know, vernacular for quite a long time. I mean, look, Duke, everyone thought they were loaded last year, and Virginia won the national championship, right? I mean, you know, Villanova won in 2016 and 2018. Were they very good? Villanova was really good. They might have been the closest in 2018 to a team that everyone thought they have it, but they weren't, like, they weren't UCLA. It wasn't, it's that just does not exist anymore.
What do you've probably actually seen more of the ACC teams than I have. Anybody you've seen where you go, ooh, they are a lot slash worse slash better than I thought they were going to be? Anybody surprise you one way or the other?
Overall, you mean, in the ACC?
Yeah.
I mean, North Carolina kind of surprises me on the wrong side of surprising, right?
Okay.
You know, I thought that they would be better. Maybe that's naive. I mean, I guess I expected a little bit more out of them earlier than I've seen. You know, I didn't expect Duke to be, you know, just quite right yet. I just think they're just not there yet. They're not good enough, frankly. That didn't really surprise me. I thought Syracuse would be less dreadful. You know,
yeah.
I mean, they're just, I talked to Jim Boeheim in the beginning of the season. He assured me that offensively they would be better this year, and that's not true. You know, I don't feel like anything is really surprising even nationwide this year, except maybe the ups and downs of Michigan State. I just thought they would be a little more stable, but they don't have Langford, and, you know, Cassius Winston has gone through some horrible stuff, so that's probably unreasonable too. So I think the ACC is sort of emblematic of the whole country. I think they are sort of who they are right now too. They'll work themselves out. I mean, they will. It will get better by February. We'll have a handle on this, which is not going to anytime soon.
You know what's interesting, talking to Dane O'Neill, obviously what we're talking now is pure opinion. So you've been covering this for a long time, and we're just kind of spitballing. But good friend of mine, Fred Carter, who played in the NBA, Mad Dog, used to say, I don't know how he came up with this number, but he said when he coached and played in the NBA, he said after 22 games, you knew who you were. I don't know why 20, why not 20 or 25, I don't know. But he said 22, you are who you are, you better make peace with it because that's your team. I would say, so I did that in my head. I said, well, that's about a quarter of the season. So if you did that with college basketball, I said, okay, after about 8 meaningful games, I would say, you know who you are. But I don't know if that's true anymore because the season starts so early. When do you think you really know who you are in college basketball?
Yeah, I think 8 games is way too early. I agree with you because it is. Like, you know, by 8 games, you're playing, like, you know, Directional University of the Poor for 4 of them, so I don't think those are very telling. And, you know, and you're right, the season does start early. I'd say January, like the end of January, which seems pretty late, But I would say the end of January, early February, I think you are getting a handle on, minus, of course, if you have injuries, right? That's always a wild card. If you have injuries, you can't really know anything. But presuming you're healthy, I think by the end of January, the beginning of February, your deficiencies are what they are going to be, and they're only going to get moderately better. Your strengths are what they are, and they could get better, and you could catch a, you know, catch a wave and keep rolling. But your sort of dynamic of your team is pretty much set by then, which is super late because I'm right around the corner, right? February is a short month. Here comes March. But I think that's where we are. I really do. And I do still think some teams do get hot and, you know, get healthy or whatever the case may be. That's why we see some teams take off in March. And because everything else is so tenuous, that's why March these teams become more susceptible to being upset, the ones that we think are stable, because they're only kind of pseudo-stable, if you will.
Pseudo-stable. I like that. That probably defines me as a person. I think people would say...
Defines all of us, really, Bob.
I've been pseudo-stable for much of my life. I'm going to quote when somebody says, were you diagnosed? I'll say, well, kind of. Dane O'Neill said that. I was pseudo-stable.
Yeah, so. Pseudo-stable. You could use it. I'll lend it to you. Yeah,
thank you. I appreciate that. Hey, this is not ACC related, but I want to pick your brain on this because I walked out of the arena last night. UConn lost, you know that, to Indiana. A very close game, albeit a herky-jerky game. It was, you know, not very high scoring. But I think they are going to be primed to be a player again because I think the move to the Big East makes such perfect sense for them.
Absolutely.
I mean, seeing them back in the Garden, I think Danny Hurley is a fine choice there. He's a good coach. I think in the next 3-4 years, they'll be back on the national landscape. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. It makes sense for everybody, that move. I mean, first of all, it makes sense, obviously, for UConn, who kind of lost its identity because they chased football, which they shouldn't have ever done because they were never going to be a football school. And in chasing the football thing, they lost their real identity, which was basketball, on the men's and the women's side, frankly. It helps the Big East. The Big East needs that branding. It's awesome for everybody. And I agree. You know, look, and it's perfect, like, because Dan Hurley, like, he kind of just oozes Big East. I don't just mean because he played at Seton Hall, but he's like that Jersey City gritty dude. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a Big East guy. And he fits, right? And he's going to recruit the bejesus out of the Northeast. You know, he's going to sell everything that UConn has been and can be again. And he's going to hit the pavement hard. He can coach, as he's proven. They've got the fan base just desperate to go to the Garden, as you saw last night, and really get behind this team. So, yeah, I think it's just honestly a matter of time before we see UConn kind of right back where we remember them being. And I'm so excited for, just honest to God, this sounds so Pollyanna, but I am excited for college basketball in that regard because I think it just fits and it makes sense for everybody. And when teams are where they belong, it just works. It just works for everybody.
Talking to Dane O'Neill from The Athletic, and I didn't see you last night. Where were you hiding out? Why didn't you wave to me?
You should wave to me. Because that's how I am. No, I don't. I was in my front row seat where I belong, doing what I was supposed to do. I wrote the first game. I wrote Texas Tech, just because that was, obviously taking down Louisville number one, it's huge. But I was so impressed. You know, I think as frustrated as people in Louisville might be with how Louisville played, I think you have to credit Texas Tech because that was like Texas Tech that we know of Chris Beard. They kind of lost that for the last three games. They were nasty last night. That's their identity. So I was there. I was writing. I was working. That's what I was doing. I apologize. I'll have to make sure to say hi the next time.
Yes, thank you. Come back.
I apologize.
And, go up and down like the referees do before the game, where they shake hands with everybody.
I'll give you a fist bump. Absolutely.
Hey, you know he is. Louisville fans probably don't want to hear this today, but he's a really easy guy to like, Chris Beard. You probably know this because you were covering it, but I found out. I just was so, maybe because it's my brother, but I also, as an ex-coach, I think it's the coolest thing. He had the kid, Terrence Shannon, a freshman, do a research project on Jimmy and present it to the team, and then another freshman do a research project on Madison Square Garden and the history of the Garden and why it's such a... I just think that's great. I mean, why would you expect kids to know all this stuff? And if you think it's important, tell them. And he's just got a way he carries himself that's it's easy to admire what he does, and the kids certainly respond to him.
They love him. And, you know, I was having, again, another conversation. I apparently talked a lot. But I had this conversation with people last night, too. And I think the reason Chris Beard works and he's doing such an amazing job at Texas Tech is Chris Beard knows exactly who he is, how he wants to coach, the kind of players he wants to coach, and what doesn't work. And that's it. Like, it's not complicated. Like, he's a blue-collar, gritty, come up, you know, from all kind of crazy levels, and that's the kind of kids he wants. And he's going to coach them hard, and they're going to run through a freaking wall for him. And, yeah, he's going to be kind of like old school in the sense that he's going to teach them things and make them kind of own the history of the program. And that's why they're so good. I mean, I was in the locker room watching the locker room celebration last night. Look, they won a game in December, but they were so happy. They're bouncing around, and he's part of it. He's in there, like, crowd surfing and, you know, fist bumping and changing the music. He's into it, and that's who he is, and it's not going to change. And I think once you, as a coach, figure out your identity, the rest falls into place, and he figured it out. I mean, that team is not going anywhere anytime soon. So long as Texas Tech can hold on to him, which will become increasingly difficult,
yes,
that team is going to be around for a long time.
He's also got a good sense of humor. I walked in before the game, and he's got the music playing, and I did their game last year at their place, and I was amazed. He has the music, I mean, absolutely ear-splittingly loud in his little office. He's just in his little office, and it is just, it's got to be at 10 billion decibels. And then when you walk in, he turns it off, and we talk, and I was like, wow, a little loud. He said, yeah, I like the music. So I went in last night, and he had the music playing again in the little locker room at the Garden, which is not very elaborate, by the way. And I said, oh, a little bit lower here. He said, well, I'm in somebody else's house. I don't know, I thought that was funny. He was like, well, you know, he's a house guest, you know,
he's genuine, you know, like I always kind of lament the fact that sometimes people, because of the money, have been kind of lost their personalities in this game, and he hasn't. He's got his, and he's gonna own it, and he's gonna be who he is whether you like him or not, and I think that's awesome.
Well, that's why he can get a guy like Avery Benson to play that way, I think. There was a perfect marriage of player and coach. It's that guy. He was the star of the game last night for his team.
Yeah, I wrote the whole thing. I mean, just, you know, a former walk-on, you know, who was sitting behind the bench because he wasn't allowed to dress for the 2018 Elite Eight game. So he was sitting behind the bench in street clothes. He comes in and plays 22 minutes, is blocking a potential, you know, national player of the year and, you know, lottery pick, blocking, you know, Fresh Kimball at the end of the half and, like, throwing his headband down like he's dropping a mic. And he's a walk-on. It was tremendous. It was a hilarious and yet absolutely positively on brand for everything that Texas Tech and Chris Beard is.
Let's get back to Louisville for just a bit. I had a coach last night, I won't mention his name, come up and say, God, they're really slow. I wasn't struck with them being a slow team, but I see them so much that maybe it's just, I realized last night was just like watching a movie that was completely out of focus. That was, I don't know who that was, but that wasn't them. But I mean, of the challenges they face, and there are some, they got to get better guard play. Then you mentioned secondary score and stuff like, but do they strike you as a team that is not quick enough? I'm not struck that their team speed is a problem. Do you think, do other people say that? Do you hear that?
No, I haven't heard that, and I didn't really sense that last night either. I mean, look, Texas Tech can make you look like you're playing in quicksand a little bit too. You know, that's part of it. And I just felt like last night they just looked off. Just everything just looked like there's just something not connecting here tonight. Maybe it was just a bad night. I mean, it happens. People have a bad night. But, you know, I don't sense them as slow. I wouldn't label that as one of their issues that they need to get over. As I said, I think, you know, the guard play just needs to really get better to, if anything, I guess you could say the guard play needs to get better to push the tempo to get them out in the break a little bit more quickly and get things moving a little bit better. But I wouldn't quantify them as a slow team by any means, no.
Do you get a sense that it's kind of like since they started so early and the conference has changed their whole modus operandi, ESPN, ESPN, the ACC playing two conference games, it's like, you come out of the gate and you play a couple of big games right away. Louisville played a conference game to start. You know, there's some, then there's some of these, like the Champions Classic for Kentucky. Then you play a couple of bops to get a little wins under your belt. Then you play some nice neutral site games. You play in the Bahamas. You play in the Garden. You play in Puerto Rico. You play in the Dominican Republic. And then there's about 2 weeks where you get those mail order wins. Now you have 2 weeks of playing the directional schools. And then sometimes, like Louisville, you wrap it up with one big non-conference game. Louisville play Kentucky, and then conference play starts. But I hate to say it, the next 2 or 3 weeks probably is as meh as college basketball gets for a while. Don't you think?
Yeah, I do. And I feel like you're right. I mean, I guess, you know, part of that, I understand to an extent, you know, kids have finals, people have the holidays, college football takes over the, you know, the television interest because of the bowl games and everything like that. So there's something to be said for that. But I do think in all of that, you know, that's also part and parcel of why you see teams sort of on a roller coaster, wins and losses, right? I mean, it's hard to kind of find your groove, like, right? Games matter, then they kind of, they all matter, but big game, game,
right.
Big game,
right.
Kind of big game. I'm home, I'm gone, I'm here, I'm all overseas. There's the beach, there's my dorm room, right?
It's true.
And you're supposed to be, at the age of 20, like, on point through all of those changes. That's a pretty big ask. I mean, and everyone has to do it, so, you know, those who don't do it as well as others, you got to fix it, right? That's the expectation of you. But I do think that is all part of why people are having stops and starts, you know. And then once you get into January, you're like, okay, now I get it. Now I'm in the conference season. We're going to play games pretty much this day and that day or hereabouts. I know all the teams I'm playing. The coaches know the scouts. Everything's familiar. There's none of this, like, you know, flying to the Bahamas and, like, wearing or flying to Maui and doing a luau. We're just playing basketball now. Like, we're back to business. So I think that's part of what you see, too, with these guys. I think they're just a little bit like, I don't know, deer in headlights sometimes.
Talking to Dana O'Neill from The Athletic, senior writer, and that doesn't mean she's old. It just means people say she's really good at writing. So. I do want to ask you a little bit. I thought last night's game was very, very important for Archie Miller. They were 8-0, but they hadn't left their building. They really didn't play. They had, you know, nothing really, no real tough games. They go start their conference season. They go on the road and absolutely get lit up like a Christmas tree. Now they're playing a UConn team. It's not great, but it's good and getting better. And you know, it's a pro-UConn crowd because it's much closer to UConn's campus. And if they lose this, people are going to dismiss them and say, well, they just, you know, took advantage of home games against crappy teams. And for them to get this, I think it was really a significant win for him. Am I overstating that? How big a win do you think it was for Archie?
No, I agree with him. He said so as much as after the game. He felt like, you know, I know coaches say this a lot after nice big wins, but he said he felt like his team grew up a lot in that game, especially because they had gotten their doors blown off, right? I mean, and he, you know, you don't know how a team is going to bounce back from that. They can all go south in a hurry. So for them to come back and kind of, you know, like you said, it was an ugly game. It was kind of a game that was hard to find a rhythm to in a difficult environment against a brand-name team, whether you think UConn is great or not right now. It's a big-name team. That was an important win for that program, you know, to kind of validate itself and feel good about where they're headed and kind of put, you know, all right, the loss is what it was. Let's put that one to bed. That's not really who we are. We can actually feel good that we're a legit team. Because, look, I know Indiana fans have been sort of sitting on the fence with Archie a lot this year, right? I mean, they kind of want to be all in, but they're not going to be all in. He hasn't gotten them yet. And so he's in that situation where he has to win them over by any means. Like, I don't think he cares about that, but at some point you do have to win them over to kind of get things rolling for yourself. So, yeah, I think that was a critical win for their team's psyche and for their fans to kind of have some faith for sure.
Couple of things before we let Dana O'Neill go. I was, as I think you know, I was doing the doubleheader for ESPN Radio last night, so I didn't get, usually, obviously when I do the Louisville games, one of the responsibilities is to talk to Chris Mack after the game, and obviously last night I didn't do it because I was busy having to do the second game. So you were there for his comments. What kind of demeanor did he have? Did he look annoyed, dismayed, disappointed, completely pissed off? How would you describe his mood?
Yeah, I don't think he was as, you know, I don't think completely pissed off. I think a lot of people expected him to be pretty fired up and aggravated. I think, you know, I think sometimes you just kind of look in the mirror and say, we played crappy.
Yeah. No, you did.
You're right. I mean, there's no kind of, you know, pulling the wool over everybody's eyes. And I think that's kind of where he was. They did not play good basketball last night. And, you know, he take some of the blame for some of the things? Sure. And he did, because that's how coaches are. I don't think, you know, he certainly wasn't pleased. That would be ridiculous to imply that. But, you know, I think coaches pick their spots to be really publicly angry with their team, right? Because they know when their team needs someone to be, need them to kind of be publicly angry, and I don't think that was the spot. So whatever frustrations he has, I'm sure practice won't be pleasant. I'm sure the film session will be less pleasant. But I think there was, you know, all right, that was bad. That was just a bad, we were bad. Like, what are you going to do? We were bad. And that's for you, and that's where you operate from.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. But in addition to the things that you and I talked about, I mean, he's obviously got to get, Darius Perry was very disappointing that he went back to sulky Darius. That I was shocked at. He airballed a couple of shots, and then you might as well mailed him home because he was done. And
he was out, yeah. He was a non-factor, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, I'm sure they'll talk about those things. Two things I said two before, but I just wanted to add this because I just had a sip of this. Are you a coffee drinker?
Sure, of course.
Okay, good. Do you have you had this? It's old. I mean, it's a company. It's been around since the 1800s. But this Lavazza coffee, have you had that? Oh,
no, I'm a Philly Jersey girl. I drink Wawa, man.
Oh no, Wawa! Oh, don't apologize for that. Wawa coffee is Wawa.
No, there's nothing better worldwide. Is my point? Yeah, like
no, it really no, seriously.
Give me my Wawa.
I have friends who have relatives in South Jersey, and they always bring me back a bag of Wawa coffee when go visit them. It's that good. Seriously,
my daughter's at college in Alabama, and that's like one of the things I have to ship to her. And when she came home for Thanksgiving, she asked if there was a Wawa hoagie in the car when she was picked up at the airport. And she wasn't joking.
But this is really good. If ever you get a chance, try this. It's hard to describe. It's just got a very different flavor, and maybe because it's Italian, and it's, you know, I'm a big fan of that.
Well, I'm Italian.
Torino, Italian. Yeah, it's Torino, Italy, founded in 1895. Lavazza. Oh my God, is that good? Sounds sensational.
Is it like
coffee.
A K-cup or is it like a ground up coffee? I have to go buy it in a store or a restaurant.
I don't know. I'm going to go try and find out. I bought it downstairs at the coffee shop, and they had a big sign: "We proudly sell Lavazza coffee." And I was like, "Everybody says that they could sell mud." They'd say, "We proudly sell mud." But, I mean, that's what they do. But it was really good. No wonder they were proud to sell.
I'm in New York. I'll go walk around now. I'm going to go search for it. There you go.
Yeah, got to try one of those.
Right, and then you're the Keenan Elf, the world's greatest cup of coffee. I hope it lives up to it. So, there you
it's
go.
Pretty good. It'll stand up there. Let's put it this way: you'll put in a room with Wawa, and it won't leave the room in shame. It'll look Wawa right in the eye and say, "Hi, I'm here." Or I guess, "Hello, I am here." I don't know, to make it speak with an Italian accent. I don't know. Hey, also your last piece that you wrote, where you write and then take a shot, don't you? Did you do that? Don't you do that with your partner?
Brian Hamilton. Yes, we do shot takers. Yes.
So what was your drink of beverage last time? Don't you do
a
different drink?
Unfortunately, I think I passed because I think it was like 11 in the morning, and you know some of us are still parents, so it seemed like a wise decision to be throwing back the fireball at 11 in the morning before my son came home from school. But we are planning a holiday episode for next week, so I'm thinking there will be some eggnog in my future. Yeah, but you know, I thought
just
like
visualize that your kid coming home and you're sitting there and mommy, what are you doing? I'm working. I'm just working.
Get out of the way. That
this
looks
is
like
my job.
Yes, it is.
Set me
I
up
work
again.
Hard.
Oh my! All right. Well,
but I'll promise eggnog next week. I won't let people down. So yeah, I do believe that was the hang up last time. Sometimes you know the schedule does not permit. I mean, you know, I suppose I can't say I've never had a drink at 11 a.m., but, you know, not that time I didn't.
Yeah, there's still a stigma about before noon. I get that. So, yeah.
Depends on if there's a football game involved, Bob. Then it's all things are equal. You got to see how good
all bets are off if it's a cold weather football game. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
No question. Dana, thanks for the visit. We'll talk again.
Anytime.
I hope soon. And Lavazza, don't forget it. You'll like it.
I'm going to run around New York and find it right now.
All right. Thanks. Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
All right. Dana O'Neill. She good. No, she good. She very good. You know what else is very good? Our friends at Genesis Diamonds. They've got a deal right now. Take an additional 25% off all rings. And these are all rings. I mean, they already have the best prices on fine jewelry anyway. I mean, they eliminate the middleman. They buy in cash. They pass the savings on to you. Their diamond prices are the best. Their prices overall are the best and unbeatable. Now they're taking an additional 25% off. That is how you can get some beautiful, beautiful gifts for that special person in your life, and know that they will be thrilled. I've gone and done some Christmas shopping there every year, literally, for probably the last 5 years or so, and I will be back there again, because I know when you give that gift, it is very, very, makes you very popular, let's put it that way. And they're a pleasure to do business with. It's one of those companies you're absolutely happy to do business with, because they treat you so well. Nobody pressures you to spend more than you want to spend, so they make a bigger commission. They don't even work on commission. They just are there to try and have you leave as a satisfied customer, getting best purchase you can within the budget that you have prescribed. That is exactly how I want to be treated. So don't forget, take advantage. It's a limited time. It ends this Sunday, and it will not be extended. 25% off their already lowest prices on fine jewelry, rings, all sorts of rings, yellow gold, white gold, you name it, all the different styles, only at Genesis Diamonds, Shelbyville Road Plaza, the official jeweler of both the University of Louisville and the University of Kentucky, right next to Trader Joe's. Tell them we sent you. Ask for Wendy. Doesn't matter who you ask for anyway, as a matter of fact. They will treat you great. But Wendy's such a joy to deal with, and I know you will enjoy the experience as well. Check it out at Genesis Diamonds for this holiday season. We'll take a break, and we will come back. Coming to you from New York. I'm telling you, Lavazza Coffee, pretty impressive stuff. ESPN 680, 1057.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed, but that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested, you could incur huge legal expenses, and you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk, but one thing's for sure, you were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Napa Know How.
Right now, a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil in a platinum filter is just $23.98. That's a great deal for a great oil, which is another reason why this is the most wonderful time of the year. That's Napa Full Synthetic Oil in a platinum filter for $23.98. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. While supplies last. Offer ends 12/15/19.
Listening to The V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Going to watch some Division III basketball tonight. Pretty jazzed up about that. Going to see the NYU Violets, which, if you know a little of your history, was at one time one of the preeminent Division I before they went to divisions that way. It used to be the University Division and the College Division. NYU was in the University Division with the big boys, all the big boys. They were nationally ranked. They had great players who went on to play in the NBA. And then the scandal hit, and they were one of the casualties of that. The thing that was Kentucky was involved in, and NYU, CCNY. There were a bunch of big-name schools in New York, especially, that said, we're not doing it anymore because we're not getting involved in this. So they disbanded their team for, 20, 15 years or so, and then when they brought it back, they said, well, we think it's important to have a team. We ain't doing that again. So they've been playing at Division III ever since, which is maybe 35 years, I guess, 40 years. So that's what they do. And I'm going to see them tonight. It should be fun. They're 5-3, the NYU Violets, the only team I believe in the country named the Violets. I'm going to go see them play here in Manhattan against Hunter College. Pretty excited about that. I couldn't name a player. I used to know the coaches. They used to do a cool thing in New York. I've told you this. But, again, you can't do this in other places. I mean, I don't think you could. Maybe you could do it in Kentucky. Maybe once a month. They used to do it every week at a great Italian restaurant in Manhattan called Mama Leone's, which no longer exists. They would have the Basketball Writers Association, the Metropolitan College Basketball Writers, would have a luncheon every Tuesday. And all of the institutions were invited to come speak. And they started with the smallest ones, and they worked their way up to the big boys, which were, you know, ultimately the it's like showbiz. The headliners were always St. John's and, you know, Seton Hall and Iona when they were really good, and those, and, you know, but they, the small guys would get to go talk to York College and, you know, CCNY and NYU, and anybody could come. I mean, it was not scripted. You just, if you showed up, you paid your money, you had lunch, then you got to talk. And they would ask you to keep it to like 2-3 minutes because there was generally about, you know, 15-20 schools, so take an hour, and, you know, the writers would get a nugget or two, and you had to really compete. I was always took it as a challenge. Even St. Francis, New York wasn't exactly the, even though Division One, they were not one of the hot button teams, so you still didn't get to go that late. You went after the small college guys, but I would always try and find some quirky thing to make its way into the newspaper. So, but that you could possibly do that maybe in Kentucky. There's enough NAIA schools and some Division Threes and the Division Twos, and, you know, now there's enough. Bellarmine will be Division One. That would be pretty fun to do. We got everybody in there, and but the point I'm making is at that time I really knew a lot of the small college coaches, because that was the other thing. It was fun as a coach. You'd show up, and a lot of times the head coaches came, even from the Division Ones. Sometimes an assistant would come, but I mean, when PJ Carlissimo was at Wagner and then Seton Hall, and my brother Jim was at Iona, it was like a nightclub. Those were the last two guys to go. And before PJ, when Billy Raftery was at Seton Hall, oh my God, it was like a roast. I mean, they'd get up and just barb each other, and the room would be doubled over with laughter. So, you know, it wasn't hard to get people to show up. Yeah, it would be fun. But, you know, I don't know. Coaches don't seem to have that kinship right now. Could you imagine at the podium somebody from Louisville and Kentucky there? I mean, they don't do that. I mean, these were bitter rivals, but they would show up, and it was one day of camaraderie, and I don't know. I just thought it was good for the game. I like that. So I got to know a lot of the small college guys, too. They don't do that anymore. So I should, before you make it sound like, well, they couldn't, you know, they wouldn't do that in Kentucky. Well, I'm not sure they do it anywhere anymore. Oh, I may be in for a bad game tonight, though. The Hunter College Hawks are playing a 5-3 NYU team who's normally pretty good at Division III, and they are a whopping 1-7. That doesn't look very good for me. Let's see. Hopefully they're not getting blown out. Let's see how bad they're losing. They lost by 6. They lost by 4. Then they lost by 33. That's not good. Oh, lost by 9 there. All right. Well, let's see. Maybe they'll give them a game. I hope so. So we'll go. That's my night tonight, I think. Although I wish Hunter was a little better. Now I'm not as enthralled as I was at the beginning, because that's bad basketball. But, you know.
You gonna root for one of them? You gonna root for the underdog? No. You gonna paint up? Some merchandise?
No, I'm certainly not gonna paint up, but I would, yes. If you went to a game where you just want to be entertained, and one team was 1-7, and the other was 5-3, nothing. NYU is a great institution. I've admired it tremendously, but I would be rooting for Hunter to keep it close. I want to see an entertaining game. So, you know, I don't think I'll be too loud, because my guess is there won't be very many people there. So I don't think I'll stand out and cheer. Just want to observe the game. Sometimes you see some real cool plays. UB Brown got an out-of-bounds play, and now he likes to tell stories like this, but I believe it, that he said that he ran for, about 10 years in the pros that he got from watching a high school girls game. He said, well, that's a really good play, and he ran that, and I got one from a high. I went to recruiting and I saw a high school run this play and I said, wow, that's fantastic.
What was it?
And we about an out of bounds play for a lob, for a dunk. We ran that for years. God, I ran that.
That at Bellarmine.
Oh, I ran that at Bellarmine. I ran that at Catholic.
Herbie Gaines going up for a couple.
Yeah, Herbie. Well, the bad thing was, I ran it when I was at St. Francis, New York. We had, you know, Division I athletes. Then I went to Catholic, and I'll be honest with you, we didn't have anybody else. We didn't have anybody we could alley-oop to. I didn't run it much there or at St. Mary's. But then when I got to Bellarmine again, we had athletes again. I was like, yahoo, we can run it there. And so we would run it for Herbie, and, it's a good play. But, you remember that. That was exciting when he would go. And we ran at St. Francis, New York, and that was, you know, we had a kid – I felt bad. We ran it against this a non-conference team we played, and usually you get it once, and then people are like, okay. It's like that out-of-bounds play Louisville runs where they just quick throw it to the guy on the other box, and he scores. You know, that guy says, we're not going to do that again, so they never get it again. But we ran it and got it, and we ran it again with the idea there's a secondary option we could get on it. We'd go to that. Instead, we threw it again, and he dunked, and then we ran it a third time, and he dunked, and we ran it a fourth time, he dunked. I almost felt bad for the other guy. I was going to yell down to him, hey, don't let him dunk it here. We're going to run it again. Take it away, so we go to the secondary option. But anyway, we'll see. Now I'm less enthralled by that. I may have to get back on the phone. But I can't find – there's no NHL game tonight. The Rangers are on the West Coast.
Yeah, they're playing San Jose tomorrow.
The Islanders are off.
The Kings
I would – even though the Knicks would be a fate worse than death, they're on the West Coast as well. So they can't go see them. I would go to Brooklyn and see the Nets, but I don't believe they're playing tonight. I might have to check that. Be honest, I'd rather not go see that. I'd rather go see a small college game. I could go to Broadway. I'm literally right across the street from Chicago, which I've seen 7 times, but I could go see it again.
Who's Billy Flynn? Do they have a special
That's why I don't know. I didn't get a chance to look before I checked into the hotel. I wanted to make sure I got up here, and I'm in a different hotel than I have been for the last 2 nights. I had to get out of that one. They had no more vacancy, so I came over here, and I was very nervous because you're not sure we're ever going to get a connection, although now it's knock wood. Seems like we had a decent connection. So I just hustled in. I didn't really look at the marquee. There is one thing creepy about this room, though. There's right next to me, I'm sitting at a desk, and next to me is, like there are in hotel rooms, there's a dresser, a 1, 2, 3 drawer dresser, and the middle drawer, I should do a video for this, the middle drawer, for some reason, not only won't stay closed, but it comes out very creepily, like in a horror movie. It just comes out like fractionally. And the next thing you look, the drawer is open. It looks like, it's if you just went to close it and it just popped back out, you'd say, okay, well, but like I just pushed it in there and now here it comes. Ooh. Yeah, that's creepy. So I don't know, maybe there's a ghost in here. You want to say anything, Mr. Ghost? Okay, sorry, thought I'd ask. But that's a little freaky. Anyway, so there's that. We've been talking. You said you're going to read me some text. Do we have some interesting and compelling text to respond to?
Yes, I'm pulling up the UPS jobs text line right now. It is a We Want to Know Wednesday, by the way.
Oh, We Want to Know Wednesday. Birdhead Ryan said a good one last night. Did you see that?
I did not. What was that?
Well, I'd have to go look for it on my phone, and I can't because I am afraid that... here it is. If you covered every inch of the Macy's department store, in other words, walked up and down every aisle in the Macy's department store, which is, by the way, I think 8 floors, right? You in it with me. Didn't you go in it with me? I thought you did. I'm probably going to go over there at Christmas.
Macy's.
That's a fun place. Right across the street from the garden. It's catty corner across the street from the garden. It's eight stories high.
It is big. I'm not sure I went on to every floor, but...
not only covered every floor, because I just, kind of cruised every floor just to see what was on every floor, but I didn't do it systematically, and it still took a couple of hours. If you went through every aisle, in other words, you covered every inch of the store. You went up and down the aisle on every aisle on the first floor, and then did the same thing. You would walk in the course of doing that what did he say? 1.8 million somethings steps.
Wow.
That can't be. Second, I don't know what it was. Oh, square feet, not steps. 1.8 million steps. It would take you years. It's 1.8 million square feet. How about that? A 1.8 million square foot store.
Wow, what's that the equivalent to? Like an aircraft carrier or something like that?
I have no idea. I just know it's a fun big store, especially at Christmas. It really is. They have an old wooden escalator there, the original wooden escalator. They still got one in there, which is very cool. It's the only, I still remember that from when I was a kid, and then I remember reading about how significant it was there, the historical significance to that escalator. Very cool. Anyway, all right, text. Did you find him? Did you not find him? Any luck?
Yes,
any?
Text line. UPS jobs text line. And also, if you have any, We Want to Know Wednesdays, 437-9680 UPS jobs text line. These going back to some of your takes last hour about U of L.
Right.
Let's see here. This is going. December is the month to tinker with lineups and see what you got. Of course, I would have loved the one game, but now is the time to take a lump before the real season starts. I would have loved to win the game, is what that meant. But now is the time to take a lump before the season starts. That's fair. I feel like in the back of a lot of people's minds is, we said it on the producer's head. There's like, we look at the U of L season as three seasons. It's everything leading up to the UK game. It's conference play, and then it's the postseason. And it seems like that's definitely making people a little bit nervous. I want to play this soundbite. Actually, you know what? I'll tease that, and I'll play it on the other side. Myron Medcalf weighed in on the Midday Rush earlier today and talked a little bit about which team he would take right now if he had to pick between U of L and UK. So that we'll play that in a couple more soundbites from Myron on the other side. But this is you mentioned this. The texter says he didn't see U of L try a backdoor cut once. Did you?
I mean, they made basket cuts. I don't know that they made a traditional backdoor cut, but, you know, sometimes that's predicated by the defensive style of the team you're playing, and you can only run a backdoor cut if you get a guy to bite on a ball fake to the wing. Louisville never ball fake to the wing. I mean, in other words, I don't think any backdoor cuts presented themselves. They ran some slip screens, but they didn't do a good job moving without the ball at all. But, no, the answer, I guess that's a very long-winded way to say, no, I didn't see any backdoor cuts. That's true.
Okay. This person saying, so are you blaming it on the coach, Bob? Chris Beard didn't have his team playing like that. They were a more disciplined team. Thoughts on that one?
I don't know why people want to blame it on anybody. I mean, I think Chris Beard put together a terrific game plan. I gave him credit for that. They clearly, you heard Chris Mack himself say it, they put more ball pressure on than any team they faced. Pitt prides itself on being a physical team, but they didn't put the kind of ball pressure on that this team did. And then they complemented that with spectacular perimeter wing defense. So they pushed the ball very hard, very aggressively to one side of the floor. They didn't let Louisville make entry passes. The entry pass that Louisville made was often caught by a guy who was 35 feet away from the basket instead of 20 feet away from the basket. That made an enormous difference. I mean, in so many ways, the timing's off. The passes they tried to make to the post were the passes were too long. The defense was able to rotate and get in the way and take it away. It was not just a little dump down from the top of the key. It was a guy catching the ball 30 feet away and then trying to throw it to a 6-inch window. Very, very difficult. So he did a very good job of that. I can only tell you, Chris doesn't need any defending from me. I don't go to a lot of practices, but I had to interview him before this game because for the network, and I couldn't get him while we were in New York because of the way it works out time-wise. So I went and did it at Sunday's practice. They worked on everything that Texas Tech threw at them. They worked on moving without the ball on the wing and getting entry passes in good places. They didn't do that well. They worked on using screens without the ball. They didn't do that well. They didn't necessarily work on beating guys off the dribble, but that's not a big part of the way they play. They usually, when they're playing well, they're about ball movement, ball reversal. So they don't have a lot of guys that do that especially well to begin with, and they didn't do that very well. And then they did work on post passing, and early they got it. But when Texas Tech took the one thing that Louisville had going for it away, Louisville didn't make the counter adjustment, which, as I said, is a ball fake to the post, throw it to the wing, free that guy up for a shot. And even if they'd gotten him shots from the wing, I mean, they were missing shots they make in their sleep from the wings. Ryan missed a bunch of shots early. He wound up making two threes in the game, but he missed some early. Jordan made one three early, but I remember one in the second half where he was right in the right corner, wide open, and just must have missed it by 3 feet. And Jordan had a combination of some bad luck on shots that went in and out, some four shots where he took it. He was trying to, getting frustrated with their offense and feels like he's got to carry the load a little bit, and he forced some up there. And then, guys making bad decisions off the dribble. Darius missed a couple of shots and was just pouty Darius, which we haven't seen all year, and was not a factor at all. And Fresh came in and understood they would get nothing from the point guard, and he kind of overcompensated. He over-penetrated, took the ball into positions on the floor where nothing good happened. And so he got himself in positions where they weren't able to get anything done either. So Sam Williamson only came in and got the one field goal, and they had no answers. They really didn't have any answers, and it's not for because they were taken by surprise. But Texas Tech did exploit all the weaknesses Louisville had, and Louisville didn't. So I'm not blaming. Why would you blame Chris Mack? I mean, you blame a coach if you feel like, boy, he really undressed them there. He had no idea what they were doing. He knew what they were doing, and they practiced to try and counter it. Texas Tech executed it far better, and then as the game went on and their confidence grew, they did it even more aggressively. And Louisville, in addition to not executing what they had set out as a game plan, had quote-unquote one of those nights. They had one of those nights, which happens to everybody, and that's why it's so damn hard to win a national championship or even make the Final Four, because if you have a stretch like that, you know, you've got to be able to find a way to muddle through it and win. And Louisville was not able really even to come close to doing that. Once the wheels came off, they flew off in every direction. So that was disheartening. What else we got for a text?
All right, we have plenty of coming in here. I just got a really, really weird email, by the way. It's not weird, okay. Just random AF. and I know you get mad at me for we don't have to take every phone call. We don't have to take every guest or anything like that, and there is a ton going on today. But I just got an email. Do you want to interview UFC featherweight champ Max Holloway? I don't know. I just got there was a drop off on some radio station somewhere, and a last minute interview opportunity. So this upcoming hour, 2:30 or 2:50, if you want, we can have. UFC, I think he's actually the number one contender. UFC featherweight, he's in the co-main event for UFC 245, Max Holloway. I don't know. I kind of want to take it just because we don't have a whole lot of UFC fighters on here. But
you can do it. If you want to do the interview, I'll listen, but I ain't going
to
do it.
I don't think that's I'd have to – I don't know enough about the fight to stumble through it. I could maybe get one or two questions off the top of my dome.
Here would be the interview. You could play the part of the fighter. Joining us now is Joe Jablonski, the light feather heavyweight champion contender for MMC. And so in this fight, you'll try and hit him in the face?
Well, I might go for a ground and pound, you know, try to take it to the mat.
Oh,
I am an accomplished
at this
wrestler,
time of
all.
Year. My mother would do that. You get a nice ground and pound, and then you make it, and you put it together with a little tomato sauce. It's not exactly a meatloaf, but it's so good. A ground and pound, a little onion, serve it with mashed potato. Yeah, I agree with you. But are you going to give us any recipes? I thought this was an MMC guy. What are we doing here? Who is this guy? Hey, I understand in your sport, you don't wear shoes.
That would be correct, yes. And as I'm a featherweight and I've been training for this fight, I am very hungry. So can you stop mentioning Italian food? That'd be real, real great.
A delicious ground and pound would be so good. And I'm sure many people are mad because MMA is very popular right now, and I am not mocking it, its popularity. I just am telling you it would be doing you, the listener, a tremendous disservice because I don't know anything about it or him. So my questions would be, hey, Mr. Man, why do they have a fence around it? Why don't you just have a rope?
Because
do you guys have an endorsement deal with like a fence company? My cousin used to install fences. Could he get work with your guys? Just the other clip. He'd be like, you know, Brian Wilson warned me about Brian.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.